Merry Christmas. Welcome to church. I am so glad that you're here. Welcome, welcome. Grab your Bibles if you would. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to spend the beginning of our time together. We're moving from there to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to continue on with our series called The Gift, all about the amazing gifts that God gives his people. You know, your God is not cheap. Your daddy in heaven is not a cheap gift giver. He gives amazing gifts. And we've talked about the amazing gift of grace and the appropriate gift of hope. We need some hope in 2020. Now I want to talk about this great gift of joy. Somebody say joy. Joy. Ugh. Joy. Even in 2020, are you kidding me? Joy? You have any idea how stressful this year has been? And I've got family coming in. It's about to go from bad to worse, right? Some of us stress out that our families are coming in or that we're having to spend time with family. Some of us are stressing out because you don't get to spend time with your family this year. Which way do you want it? They say that the average couple has 7 major arguments during the holidays. And some of you are looking at your spouse and like, we're better than average. I knew it. We're better than average. No, we argue about where are we going. We argue about who's going to cook. Who's going to clean up? What kind of gifts do we have to buy and for who? Who has earned a gift and who's getting a lump of coal? We argue about how we're going to pay for it. Stress. We freak out. And to add all that on top of 2020, this seems like it's a little too much. And then we're going to sing songs about joy to the world. Like, are you kidding me? I will sing that song any year, but not this year. Not this year. I don't feel like being joyful. I don't feel like having joy. It's not a joyful season. I think one of the reasons why we act that way is because we don't really understand what joy is. There are 2 major issues that we have as Christians when we talk about joy. 2 misunderstandings theologically, 2 ditches that we fall into when it comes to understanding joy. I want to give you a couple of those, and hopefully, if I've done my job correctly, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, and you're going to help you to see that you don't really understand joy the way that you think you do. This is the revelation I had this week. The Lord began to speak to me as I was hearing from him. He says, I want you to talk about joy this week. And I'm like, are you serious right now? Joy? Like, really? Do you understand what we've been through this year, Lord? I don't know if you know. Let me give you a nickel's worth of free advice. I don't think people want to hear about joy right now. No, he says, you don't understand what joy is. And as we start getting into the authority of God's word, we realize we have some major issues with joy because we don't really understand it. And here's the most common misconception that people have about joy is that joy is happiness. Joy and happiness are synonyms. Some of you are like, synonym rolls. Yes, those are my favorite. I love synonym rolls, right? Joy to the world, I got a cinnamon roll. No. Synonym. Joy and happiness, even though in the English language we may use them as synonyms, biblically they are not. Our modern day dictionary tells us that joy is an emotion invoked by well-being, success, or good fortune as a synonym with happiness, but not biblically. That's not true. You see, joy is completely, it's a gift from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is based upon what is happening around me. Happiness is all about what happens to me, what happens around me, what is happening. What's happening brings me happiness. And we have it in our Constitution. It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amazing that doesn't say that you're ever going to find it. It's a pursuit of it. And we'll spend our entire life pursuing happiness. I'm looking for happiness. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what I would do if I actually found it. But I'm pursuing happiness because it's my American right. America, happiness, or at least the pursuit of. And we will do foolish things in the search, in this great pursuit of happiness. We will leave our spouse because she doesn't make me happy. We will leave our husband, he doesn't make me happy. Like, nobody can make you happy. Look at you. We will leave our job because we want to be happy. This job doesn't make me happy. Like, when did this job, when was that part of the requirements? Are you going to make me happy? If so, I will work here. I will grace you with my presence if you make me happy. We will change churches because that message didn't make me happy. I'll keep going. I'll step on as many toes as I have to. But at some point, we have to realize we have a major misunderstanding of what joy is. We think joy and happiness are the same thing. They are not. Joy is an inside job. Joy is a choice. Happiness. And by the way, I'm a fan of happiness. I'm not here to be anti-happy. I think Uncle Phil was right when he says happy, happy, happy. If you get to choose between being sad and happy, I'll choose happiness, of course. Some of you are like, I'll choose happiness if I have to. I'm more of the Eeyore kind of person. You know, those kind of people that will brighten any room as soon as they walk out of it, you know? I'm a fan of happiness, I get it. But happiness is not joy, it's not the same thing. Biblically, we have to understand what the world understands as happiness and what the Bible says is joy. It's a very big difference. That's one misconception. Here's the second misconception that we have about joy, is that we think as Christians that joy is optional. Joy isn't optional for Christians. It's not an option. We say it's the gift that you choose, but in all honesty, the Bible calls it a fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to see this in Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writes to this church who was walking through a tough season, by the way. They didn't get to elect their president. They were given a dictator. They were facing persecution. And he tells them this in the command tone. Rejoice. And I'm going to say it to you again. Rejoice. He commands them to rejoice. Thanks a lot. Is it really joy if you have to command me to choose it? Is it really joy? It's like a parent looking at you, better turn that frown upside down, young mister. Okay, I'm happy. We're not gonna go to McDonald's unless you start being happy and act right. Are you happy now? Rejoice, he says, and I say it again, but notice that there's three very important words. It says, in the Lord. In the Lord. Joy is not happiness, and joy is not optional for a Christian, for a believer in the Lord. It is a command given to us in spite of our circumstances, in spite of what is happening around us. He says, rejoice, and I'm gonna say it again, rejoice. Think about this as a command. What other command does God give where he says you have to, he says it twice. Don't steal. And hey, I'm gonna tell you again. Don't steal. Don't murder. I'm gonna tell you one more time in case you didn't hear me. Don't you murder. But he says this about joy because it's not a normal human response for us to find joy in the midst of a year like 2020. You're commanding me to have joy in a year like this? Are you kidding me? We're arguing, we're fussing, we're fighting, we're anxious. Do you have any idea about the stress we're having to walk through? Joy? Are you serious? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I don't like that scripture. I don't like that at all. You're not gonna tell me what to do. This is America, the land of the free. I don't know if you knew that, Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Verse 6, Philippians 4, he says, don't be anxious about anything, still as a command. He says, don't do it. Well, that's easy for you to say, Paul. You had an easy life. You don't understand what we walked through in 2020. You hadn't read this very much. He says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. You can reject anxiety. You can choose joy. Well, how in the world do you expect me to do that? He says, don't be anxious about anything, but here's how you do it. He goes, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He's saying you need to take all the stuff that you're dealing with, reject that by handing it over to the Lord, saying, God, I trust that you have this because I ain't got it. And he says, and leave it with him. Trust that he can do a better job with this than you can. Your job is to take joy, to rejoice in the fact that God can handle what you can't handle. This is biblical joy. By giving your anxiety, giving the stuff that is robbing you of your joy, giving it to the Lord and believing and trusting that he can handle it, which shows us a very, very important point that joy can't coexist with control. I'm gonna say it again, louder for the people in the back. Joy can't coexist with control. We have this myth in our minds that if I could just control everything, if everybody would just do what I want them to do, if things would just work out, if I got my money right, and if my kids would just act right, if my husband would do this, if my wife would behave this way, if my mother-in-law would just die, then... No? Is that too far? If I just have a raise, if he would just preach on this, if they would just respond this way, if I could just control everything, then I will be happy. I'll have joy. Then joy doesn't coexist with control. Joy only happens when you give control to him. When he is in control, our response is to rejoice. So basically, if joy is a fruit of the Spirit and if it's a command, then he's saying to us very clearly that joy is either being obedient or disobedient to the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of obedience. Don't like that either. Don't like that either. Let's be honest in God's house. There are some things that this Bible says that mess with me. Messes with me. I don't like it. God's saying, I'm giving you an amazing gift. It's called joy. It's the ability to choose joy in any situation. How do I do that? Yeah. With thanksgiving, yes. Present your requests to me, and then trust me with them. He goes on to say this in verse 7, and this is what I'm gonna give you. Not just joy, I'm gonna give you the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and it's gonna guard your heart, and it's gonna guard your mind in Christ Jesus. So not only when you choose joy, do you get this fantastic gift? He says, you're gonna get peace that comes along with it. These things go together really, really well. This is peanut butter and jelly, joy and peace. This is ham and burger, macaroni and cheese, Tim and Tina, they go together. You like how I snuck that in? Watch yourself, Flair. Daddy knows. I know how to do it. It's gift-giving season. My love language is gifts. You gotta put in on this. Joy and peace work together. He says, your job is to choose joy. My job is to give you peace. Stop trying to control it. Give it to me. Trust me with it. And then let that peace guard your heart. Let it guard your mind. And notice that this is all not something external. This is inside. This is in Christ Jesus. He's living inside of you. So I want to give us four basic biblical things to understand as we're turning over into 1 Peter that he begins to talk about that helps us to understand joy better and how it belongs in this season. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and according to his great mercy, he has called us to be born again to a living hope. He said, man, that's a blessing from God that you're born again. You get a living hope. It's not a dead hope, it's alive, and it's living inside of you. He says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, he says, when you got Jesus, you've got something special. As a matter of fact, he goes on to call it an inheritance that is imperishable. It won't rot, doesn't fade with age. He says it's undefiled and it's unfading. It's kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith. And I love that he says this is an amazing inheritance that you get when you accept Jesus. It's a powerful gift that doesn't get old. The batteries don't run out on it. Doesn't need a new coat of paint. It's a timeless gift. It's Christ living inside of you. It's being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. He said, oh, and in this, you rejoice. You got great joy. You need to take joy in that. You need to understand this great gift of Christ living inside of you. That's joy. That's real joy. Real joy. He says, though now, for a little while, if necessary, and I love how he doesn't deny reality, but he says, you've had to suffer a little bit. He says, but first, I want you to think about what an amazing gift you've been given by God. And I'm telling you, I get it. You've had to suffer. He says, you've been grieved by various trials so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor to Jesus. He says, I get it. Life's been tough. I get it. You've had a hard year, but you need to understand there's something that's being birthed inside of you. It's being refined. It's a beautiful, imperishable thing that's a great gift. It's the gift of your faith, and it's been tested, but it's proven genuine. This is something that I think we need to have a little bit of joy in. That we can look back on a year like 2020 and say, I've found out a few things about myself. And my faith is the real deal. Some of us, maybe you've had a question. Do I really believe in this thing, or is this just for show? I honestly believe this stuff, and now I'm having to actually live it out, and I found that you can put your trust in it. That it can be trusted. Hey, go, this is a proven faith. And though it's been tested by fire, it results in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, though you haven't seen him, you love him. The gift that you can't see, but you still love. He says, though you do not now see him, you believe. Showing us that it's not something external to affect how you feel, but it's something internal that you believe. He says, in him, and you rejoice with joy. I love the redundancy of rejoice and joy together. That word means to literally leap with joy. He's saying, when you have a revelation of this gift that God has given in his son, oh, it results in great joy. As a matter of fact, it should make you want to just do somersaults on the inside. I could do somersaults, but I can't. And he says, and this joy is inexpressible. The Greek word anakaletos, which means you can't even talk about it. It leaves you dumbfounded. You're at a loss for words. He says, not only should you be jumping up and down on the inside, but you should be at a loss for words when you understand the great gift that God has given you. Do you have any idea how great this gift is? That's real joy. Why? Because it comes in the person of Jesus Christ. He's given you a living hope, and it's given you something far beyond the trials of this world and this year to look forward to. He said, that's real joy. Joy that's inexpressible, that's full of glory, makes you want to shout and leap and jump up and down. Why? Because there's something great that's happening on the inside of you. He said, it's joy inexpressible, and it's full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Have you ever had a gift that was so amazing that you didn't even have words to respond to it? Honestly, I don't know many times in my life where I could say that was true. Have you ever had a time in your life where a gift was given to you that made you jump up and down, freaking out? I don't think a lot of people have had those experiences. That's actually a pretty rare thing, because you're gonna get gifts, by the way, and you may have given gifts that someone would say, wow, thank you. What an appropriate gift, or what a timely gift. Or you knew exactly what I needed. What, oh man, that's a good gift. That's appropriate, even for a good gift. But Paul and Peter go way beyond that. And they say, no, this is one of those gifts like you got a new car. You got $1 million. We're paying off all your bills for the rest of your life. We're paying off all your student loans. And they're that kind of gift. He goes, that's joy. That's what's happening on the inside. It's joy inexpressible. There's only been a few times in my life that a gift has left me speechless. It's taken away my words. And generally, it's because the gift came along after a time of great grief. Times where it was dark. Times where there wasn't any hope. And then there was a gift given that you're like, oh, wow. I don't even know what to say. I want to take you back about 21 years ago. My first wife and I had fought through infertility. We had lost two children. And those that have never lost a child, if you've never experienced infertility or if you've never had miscarriages, you just don't understand the grief that a person has to walk through and what it does to people. And the embarrassment of telling people that we were pregnant and then having to go back and tell them that we're not. And then the humiliation of people coming up and wanting to rub your wife's belly and say, when's the big day? I heard the good news. And you're like, no, I'm just fat. There's nothing really there. And I'm trying to make a joke out of it, but I don't feel like joking. You don't even want to be around people because you don't have to explain what happened. Because you know it's embarrassing for them, it's humiliating for you. And to walk through this multiple times, if you've never been there, you don't understand it. But right about this time, 21 years ago, my wife hands me a long box. And in that box, I see what I thought was a thermometer. I'm like, why are you giving me a thermometer? Did you just set a record for a fever or something? And I pick it up. She goes, oh, I wouldn't hold that in. I'm like, no. It's a thermometer? She said, no, it's a pregnancy test. And I saw that had a big plus sign on it. And in that moment, I didn't know what to say because I was afraid, like, do I even hope again? Am I setting myself up for some more pain? Or could it be that this is the joy that I've been waiting for? Could it be? Is it possible? That's a gift that left me speechless when 9 months later my son was born. And I looked at this perfect little human being and thought, I'm sorry, kid, that you look like me. We were actually going to name my son James until I saw him. I'm like, that ain't no James. That's a Tim Jr. I'm sorry, kid. Maybe it'll work out for you later on in life, but we know who your daddy is. What a gift. A gift of life. The gift that leaves you speechless. The gift that gives you hope. The gift that does something on the inside. And this is what the Bible is talking about when it describes real joy, biblical joy. It takes away your speech. It makes you leap up and down on the inside because you have hope. There's something happening that's special. This is biblical joy. I want to give you four things that will help you understand theologically what the world doesn't understand about joy. And the first thing is simply this: true joy is only found in Jesus Christ. This is what makes Christianity different from every religion on the face of the earth. They will all promise you joy, but they can't deliver. They might make you happy for a season. They might give you a little peace of mind. They might teach you a new way to deal with things and to process through stuff, but they can't give you real joy. Why? Because it only comes through Christ. Only in Christ. This is why the angel that appears to Mary in Luke chapter 2 says, behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. All people. What is the good news? Think about this for a second. What is the good news? That Jesus Christ is born, but more than just a baby wrapped in a manger, it's the physical embodiment of God's grace to the world. It's grace, this great gift that God has given that's going to bring joy to all people. Why? Because when you get grace, you get joy. And grace comes in the form of that tiny baby that Mary holds. Grace, that means we no longer have to work to please God, but yet he's given us this gift of grace to show that he can be pleased through Christ. Great joy comes when we recognize grace. So the Greek word that Peter and that Paul uses in this context when they're talking about joy is the word charis, which, by the way, if you know your Greek, if you know that 2 weeks ago we talked about the word charis, which means grace, and kara on the other side, which is very, very closely related, is the word for joy. These two words are like synonym roles. Joy and grace. Chara and charis. Joy literally means, in the Greek language, a response to the recognition of grace. This is why it's different than happiness, and this is why it's not optional for us as believers. God is commanding us to respond when we recognize grace. And I want to challenge you in a year like 2020 to not just respond when you recognize grief and to not just respond when you recognize trials, because, my friends, that's easy to do. Any of us can do that, whether you're saved or not, whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit or not, whether you know who Jesus is or not, you can still recognize pain. You can be a blind fool and recognize pain. It's everywhere in 2020, but here's the challenge. Can you recognize grace? And once you recognize it, can you respond to it? Because that's the command, to rejoice. And I'll say it again. He says, rejoice in all circumstances. Recognize the grace of God and then let it produce something inside of you. Recognize grace that's only found in Jesus Christ. It's rare, but it's there. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit that we can choose. We can recognize. We can have our eyes open to receive this great gift when we recognize the grace of God. Have you seen God's grace this year? Come on, you need to admit this to yourself. Have I seen his grace this year? Yeah. Has God's grace been evident to me in 2020? Yes. Then your response is joy. Joy. It should produce praise and honor and glory to God, because that is the proof that Jesus Christ existed. It's God's great gift to us. joy in the midst of a year like 2020. Here's the second thing that we have to understand about joy, and this is so critical, that joy has a purpose. It's not just to make you happy. It's not to just bring a little bit of levity to the situation. It's not just to put a smile on your face while you're walking through something difficult. It has a purpose. And Paul was very clear, and so was Peter, that it produces something inside of you. When you choose joy, there is a product that comes along. When you respond to the grace of God, when you recognize it should produce something in you, he says this. He says, rejoice, because it's the tested genuineness of your faith, and it results in praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. So it literally retrains us to start seeing God's grace. It retrains our eyes to start responding to the grace of God. It gives proof that your faith is genuine. It gives proof that Jesus is there. It produces something. I'll say it this way. If you can't find joy in the trial, you may not be his. I'm not telling you fake it till you make it. I'm saying find grace in the midst of the trial. Find what God is doing. We have a saying around here from the elder level on down to our staff. We have a saying that's called follow the favor. Follow the favor. This is a prophetic word given to us as a church that when you recognize the favor of God, when you see him breathing on something, you follow that. Follow it, follow it, follow it. You give towards that. You fund it. You listen to it. And by the way, that word goes in the opposite direction too. When God doesn't have his favor on it, you say, you know what? I'm not following that anymore. But it helps us to walk into a new season because we're following after the favor of the Lord. And this is a synonym role for what God is asking us to do with joy, saying follow the grace of God. Follow his grace. Where am I at? Where am I? If you can't see the grace of God in 2020, you probably don't have a lot of joy. You're chasing after happiness. You'll never receive God's joy. Not like that. You're only gonna find a fleeting emotion. See, happiness is emotional. Joy is theological. Happiness is external, what's happening, but joy, that's internal. And by the way, it's eternal as well. In case you didn't know, joy is a central theme in the Bible, and joy is also something that is promised to us waiting in heaven as well. It's gonna be something that we better get used to it, because joy is a big deal to God. It's something that you're gonna be doing for a long time. Recognizing the grace of God. You're going to be in heaven looking back at your life saying, man, if not for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. And look, you're here too. I recognize God's grace got you here. Even you, even her, even them, yeah, and even me. Joy is eternal. Joy is internal. It's Jesus living inside of you, and it produces something in each of us. This is why James, in James chapter 1, says something that a lot of us don't like. He says to count it joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because that testing of your faith produces perseverance. It's producing something. Your faith in 2020 has been tested. It's been tested. And there's a reason why you're still here. There's a reason why you're still coming to church after all that's happened to you and to your friends and to your world. There's proof that something's living inside of you that the world can't steal because the world didn't give it. And unfortunately, you see in our world a lack of joy. Because they think that joy and happiness are the same thing, and they're just not. No. Joy is a response to the supernatural work of God. It produces something. Here's a third thing that we have to understand about joy. This is so basic, but so very, very true. Joy is inner strength. It's strength. Nehemiah in chapter 8 looks at his friends and he says, guys, don't grieve. Don't freak out. The joy of the Lord, that's your strength. Not the joy of your circumstances. That's weakness. The joy of the Lord, that's your strength. It's an inner strength that helps you to endure. It helps you to face the things that you're facing. It helps you to walk through tough times and still keep going. Joy, the joy of the Lord. You know, when the Bible describes Jesus, We like to think of him, I think, sometimes in a skewed manner. We like to think of Jesus as being stern and hard, being someone that's unapproachable, someone that's always serious. But the Bible tells us very specifically that he told his disciples, hey, stop forbidding children to come to me because children were trying to climb on his lap. Kids wanted to play on him. They wanted to use him like a jungle gym. And the last time I checked, kids don't run to mean people. I didn't. Maybe your kids do. Oh, look, mom, a mean person. This person looks really scary. Let me go and climb on them. That's not what kids do. Game recognized game. Joy recognized joy, right? Christ was full of the Spirit of the Lord, and it radiated with the joy that was happening on the inside. And he serves as an example to all of us. You can have joy in the midst of horrible circumstances. If you know anything about the life of Christ, he didn't have an easy life. He didn't have an easy death. The Bible calls him a man of sorrows that was acquainted with grief. Yeah, grief. Jesus says, yeah, we've met. We've met. I know grief. I choose joy. In Hebrews 12, the writer here tells us to use Jesus as a model. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that set before him. Who sets the joy before him? He does. He does. And what does it help him do? It helps him endure the cross, despising the shame. And then he sits down at the right hand of God. He says, it's finished. I did it. Why? Because I set the joy before me. And I was able to endure. This is a powerful key that we have to understand in years like 2020, that if you can't set the joy of the Lord before you, you're not gonna make it. You're not gonna endure. You're gonna have to fix your eyes on Jesus, fix your eyes on the grace, recognize the grace, and set that joy out in front of you like a carrot in front of a donkey, and then you start plowing ahead. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He sets joy before him and he endures because it gives him the strength. It's that internal response to that spiritual reality. And the fourth thing is this. Joy is a response to God's promises. Response to God's promises. And I think some of us would say, yeah, it's easy. When God makes me a promise and then that promise gets fulfilled, then I can have joy because I saw God do what his word says he's gonna do. No, no, no. Whether it's fulfilled or whether it's still coming, I get to choose joy. It doesn't matter if I see the end result. There are many people, by the way, in this book who never got to see the fulfillment of God's promises, but still were full of the joy of the Lord, still experienced the joy of the Lord being their strength. And the same challenge is here for us today. Where's your strength? Has it run out? Have you found yourself losing hope? Have you tried to fake it till you make it? Have you tried to just suck it up and make the best out of a bad situation? And those are all good things, but they're not God things. There's a gift that you haven't unwrapped yet. There's a precious gift that's living inside of every believer. And that's the ability to choose joy in spite of our circumstances. Why? Because I've got a promise from God. His word tells me that those who sow in tears, they're gonna reap songs of joy. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Whether you see it in this life or the one to come, it's still coming. It says, you may go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, but you're gonna return with songs of joy. It's gonna produce something. My friend, you have a promise from God that we can hang on to in years like 2020. And it brings us joy. It brings us inner strength. It's God's promise that we know is going to be fulfilled. We respond to the goodness of his promises when we look at this wonderful scripture that tells us weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In case you didn't know, by the way, we still have 36 minutes left of mourning. There's joy here. There's joy here when you can recognize the grace of God and begin to respond to it. It is a choice, my friend. Choose joy. Choose joy. Choose to recognize the grace of God and start responding to it. It's better than living as a reaction to all that this year has thrown at you. recognize the grace and start responding to it. How do we do that? This is by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Give your request to God. Start talking to God and declare his goodness. Start thanking him for what he's done. This is the reason why those first 20 minutes or so when you gather here, it's so important for us to not just look at the words on a screen and to watch people performing some song, but to join in with them and choose joy. Choose joy by presenting your requests to your God and letting him handle it, by letting go of control and choosing the joy. It's your strength, you know. It's where your strength comes from. I choose joy, not because of what's happening around me, but because of this great gift that God has placed inside of me. It's inside of you too. If you receive Christ, it's there. If you receive the Holy Spirit, it's there. It's a fruit. Unfortunately, like most fruit, many of us just keep picking and throwing it at somebody else. You choose joy, not me. Find joy by recognizing God's grace, and it's happening all around me, and it warms my heart, it gives me hope, and it pushes me beyond what I thought I could handle. I need joy. God doesn't give gifts that we don't need. He knew you would need it. And your Father does not give cheap gifts. It cost him his Son. And he invites us today to respond to that great gift by recognizing his grace and saying, thank you. In spite of all that I've had to walk through, I see your grace. I see your grace. It brings me joy and it helps me to endure. It helps me get up and keep pushing when I didn't think I could. All of us have walked through stuff. All of us are gonna walk through more stuff. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but 2020 doesn't end with the flip of a calendar. All the things that you've had to walk through, sorry. You're still here. Your problems are still here. They don't go away at the beginning of every year. But thank God, neither does joy. His word says that his grace is sufficient. And you can recognize it and respond when you recognize his grace with joy. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? As we finish up today, I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart that I'm so grateful for each of you. I'm grateful that in spite of all the things that we've had to walk through as a church, you're still here, you're still giving, you're still being generous. I want you to know that we were able to bless every single missionary connected with our church with an over $1,000 Christmas bonus because of your generosity. You did that. You chose to give joy to those who have given so much. I love that. I don't have to tell these people working in the mission field, I'm sorry, our church is just not as in a giving mood right now. No, not you. You've responded by giving. You're a generous church because you are the children of a generous God. I love that. I'm proud of you. For everybody that's watching online, those that are tuning in from all around the world, I want to encourage you. No matter what the world has thrown at you, God's great gift is joy, and it could not be more appropriate that at a time such as this, you need it. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it's there. It's there for the choosing. But if you haven't, if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, or maybe you've been away from God and you know that you need to come home to him, I want to help you do that right now. Just like somebody helped me one time, I want to help you to receive this great gift, the gift that only comes through Jesus Christ. If you say, that's me, I've never prayed that prayer, I've never asked Christ to come into my heart to forgive me of my sins, let me help you. Say this prayer with me. You can say it out loud or in your heart, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is that you believe it. But the prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, but you rose again, defeating death, just for me so that I could have life and forgiveness for every one of my mistakes. I thank you for covering my mistakes with your grace, for washing them away once and for all. I receive that. Would you come into my heart? Be the Lord of my life. I give it to you right now in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and for those of you that are watching online, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I would love to connect with you. I'm not gonna sell your information in any way, but would you do me a favor? Would you text the words "I prayed" to 94090? I'd love to just send you a free gift, something that would encourage you and help you, let you know what just happened inside of your heart, and better yet, what to do next. Let us do that for you if you wouldn't mind. Text that "I prayed" to 94090 and reach out to us. That would mean a lot to me. Thank you for that. Let us know in the chat, by the way, where you're watching from and how you're choosing joy. We would love to pray for you if you have any needs. We would love to be able to cover you, even though many of you are on lockdown. Some of you are sick. Some of you are in quarantine. Some of you are not able to move or worship freely. Some of you don't have a home church. Some of you, your churches have closed. I want to encourage you, if you're watching this, God's not done with you yet. He wants to help you. We're praying for you. We're believing that greater days will come. And we can choose joy, whether they're here or whether they're not. We're praying for you and believing for great things still to come. I just sense prophetically the Lord wants to speak to those of you that are struggling. You've had a rough season. And I just want to speak to you saying, hey, it's not over till God says it's over. And for some of us, that should bring some encouragement. God's still in control. He's still on his throne. He hasn't forgotten you. And he's not finished with you yet. So draw strength from that today. Be encouraged. It's not over till God says it's over. And he hasn't had the last word yet. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing for every single person that's watching. Thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I'm believing you for good things. In Jesus' name. Amen. High Ridge family, would you guys stand to your feet? As we finish today, I want to invite our elders and their wives to remain here as the service ends to pray for any person that might need prayer. We still believe that prayer works. We still believe that prayer changes things. And as our elders and their wives and their friends are coming today, we want to make sure that you know that we're going to stay right here to make sure that you get prayed for if you have any needs at all. I want to challenge you with one thing as we're wrapping up today. Actually, you know what? Let me challenge you with two things. Is that okay? You guys look like a challenge-ready group. There's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. We've never had the ability to do it, but some situations presented themselves this week that I thought, you know what? I'd like to present this to our church and see if they would stand behind us. Have a special place in my heart for single parents, especially single moms that are raising families without dads there. And I know Christmas can be a tough season because we're having to work with one income. And there's a single mom that lost her job this week. And I love how our church has already responded. You guys are so generous. You're crazy. We've been able to pay the rent that she was behind. We're able to provide groceries. We're able to give them the things that they need. I think we could do more than that. So I'd like to pay her rent for several months, if that's okay. I'd like to make sure that car payment's taken care of forever. And I think that there's some people in this service that say, you know what? I can stand with you, Pastor. That's me. If you want to give gift cards to make sure that they don't have to worry about Christmas, these great kids, if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to drop those by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the office. We're going to be here for those 3 days. If you'd like to make a gift online and donate online, even if you're not able to do that, but you want to watch, you're watching online, you're saying, hey, I may not be there in person, but I want to help. You can do that by clicking on where you give to us, highridgelv.com, click the giving tab, and then on the love offering tab is where you want to go with that. Anything that comes in with that love offering, we're going to help that to go towards single moms in this season. Can we do that together? Is that okay? Yeah. I love being a part of a generous church. I love that. Amen. It's an amazing thing to see. While so many churches are struggling and walking through tough times, that's just not true here. It's just not true. God's been able to bless us, and we want to make sure that we're generous in this season as well to be a blessing to those that have so much less than what we've been given. So if that's something that you want to help us with, that's great. I think we're going to start this, and I want to try to make this just an every year thing that we do, that we bless single moms like nobody's business, and that they are able to give them those kind of gifts that just make them dumbfounded at the grace of God. That's us. I want to challenge you with that, if you wouldn't mind. Also, the second challenge I want to make sure that you see is, as you're going through your social media feed this holiday season, when someone presents a difficult situation that they're walking through, would you respond by saying, hey, I'm praying for you, and then actually pray for them? Now, if you don't believe in the power of prayer, don't say that. If you're not going to actually pray for someone, don't give them hope. Don't do that. But say, I'm going to actually pray for you, and then literally pray for them. When you're meeting someone and someone says, man, I'm walking through a tough season, you're like, hey, can I pray for you? And then don't wait and pray some prayer, you know, 5 minutes from now or 5 days from now. Pray right then. You're gonna see God do the miraculous through you. I can't be there to be the Jesus to every single person that you need me to be, to your friends. That's not my job, it's your job. So I wanna challenge you to step up to the plate to actually pray for people and watch God do things that only God can do through you. Do you believe that God can do that? I wanna challenge you. Stand behind us, if you would, with single moms. I think that's a great thing. If you want to give gift cards, if you want to be generous towards that, great. No pressure to do so. I'm not begging you for money. We don't need your money. We're gonna do it regardless. But I think that there are some that want to get in on that, and so I want to just make that an option to you. And then also, actually pray for people. Really pray for them. Once again, if you need prayer today, if you say, hey, I need prayer, we're going to be right here as this service finishes to make sure that we pray for you. Let me bless you and send you out. Father, I thank you in advance for every single person that takes your word and allows it to do something in their heart. I pray that they would respond with joy to every time that they recognize your grace this week. Would you bless them as they go? In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope you have an amazing week. Merry Christmas.